When the IRS paid former banker Bradley Birkenfeld $104 million for reporting fraud at his company, it got us thinking, are whistleblower rewards worth the money? Now, in this case, Birkenfeld's former employer, Swiss banking giant UBS, agreed to pay $780 million in turnover information on Americans with secret accounts. The IRS has recovered $5 billion in back taxes and penalties so far. Now, Steve Cohn is Birkenfeld's attorney, and he's executive director of the National Whistleblower Center. He joins us now to talk about the impact of this case and whistleblower rewards in general. Good morning, Mr. Cohn.
Good morning.
So, broadly speaking, we know that Birkenfeld's case is an exception in terms of the large amount of money that he's received. But do you think these rewards really matter?
Absolutely.
And why?
Studies show that well over 98% of all employees who witness fraud at work do not report it outside their company, which means less than 1% will ever go to federal law enforcement. I see that every day in my office, where employees are afraid. They have a chilling effect because of hostility to whistleblowing. They don't want to lose their career. And when they're given an option, then they have to make a choice. And if I can present them an option that includes a potential reward, they usually make the choice to blow the whistle. If they don't have that, they often go back to their agency or to their employer and keep their mouths shut.
Now, this case is unusual because the person involved, Mr. Birkenfeld, did serve a couple of years, almost 3 years, in federal prison. Was this a plea bargain, or was he found guilty by a jury?
Well, he pled guilty to a specific charge related to one of his former clients. He never should have. The charges against him were bogus. We did not represent him at the time. And I think the IRS award is a vindication to Birkenfeld, because when they went and looked at the information he gave and how invaluable it was, they also had to find that he was not what's known as a planner and initiator. He wasn't the kingpin. He wasn't the person who put it all together. He was just a pawn. And the law protects people who just participate. So he got the award. It was a full vindication, and we will be seeking a presidential pardon.
Because when you do plead guilty with the Justice Department, then you lose your right to see what they have as possibly exculpatory evidence. So that might have been a factor also here.
Well, there's no doubt about that, because when we got involved in the case and conducted our own independent investigation, the predicate of the charge was that he withheld information about one client because he wanted to continue to profit from that one client. We found a transcript of testimony he gave to the United States Senate, to a committee, in which he fully laid out his case against that client and provided all the information. But that transcript was never given to the Justice Department and has been kept confidential. We were only allowed to read it. We weren't allowed to take any notes. We weren't allowed to get a copy. But we know it's there. We're going to push to have it released. It fully vindicates Birkenfeld.
We're speaking with Steve Cohn, the executive director at the National Whistleblower Center. I'm wondering, from the IRS's perspective, what's the return on investment with whistleblower rewards in general, not just in Birkenfeld's case? I mean, how... It's almost like sort of a ransom note. How much is too much for the government to say that they're going to pay a whistleblower for information?
Well, the average award is $2.6 million under the False Claims Act over the past 25 years. So these larger rewards, which are not the norm, serve almost like an advertisement. It's kind of like inducing people to buy a lottery ticket once the amount gets larger and larger. It's completely dependent upon the size of the recovery and completely dependent upon the quality of information provided by the whistleblower. The government always makes the massive amounts of money from it. In the Birkenfeld case, they've recovered over $5 billion. So the way the reward structure is set up, the taxpayer always wins. Not a penny is paid unless money's actually recovered. And the larger rewards are inducements. But in the Birkenfeld case, it's incredible, because I have here just an article that came out of Switzerland discussing a meeting of bankers in Switzerland in the wake of the Birkenfeld Award. These are their words, quote, bank secrecy is no longer here. It's gone. These bankers internationally now know that any of their colleagues can turn in a bank, a client, and make millions of dollars. It's had a tremendous impact worldwide on breaking a system that has allowed money laundering, the wealthy to hide their assets, and really facilitated corruption. You know, for years, no one could figure out how to bust it. Birkenfeld did.
It's kind of an interesting situation, too. I mean, for until he is pardoned or exonerated, for the moment, he's a convicted felon, rightly or wrongly, but that's the fact. And so one side of the government, one branch of the government has him, or one agency of the government has him as a convicted felon. The other one is making him wealthy. What if his term had been 10 years for some other crime? What happens if the government paid someone that was in prison for a long term that kind of money?
In the history of these type of reward laws, the False Claims Act that covers government contracting, the IRS law, among others, no felon has ever been paid a reward. So although there are convictions and although whistleblowers report matters for which they have participated in all the time, no one's been convicted that I'm aware of. And none of our clients have ever even been indicted or come close to being convicted. This is an anomaly because Birkenfeld came in and he reported his allegations to the wrong office, the prosecutor, not to the whistleblower office. He was charged with a crime that he did not commit because we now know it wasn't true. So this is really an exception to the rule. I seriously doubt we'll see another Birkenfeld case in our lifetimes. It's just a complete exception. The government usually embraces these types of informants and protects them. Why they went after Birkenfeld is a mystery to me. I pray it never happens again.
And, you know, the Birkenfeld case is also, it's quite a coup for the IRS because its whistleblower program has been slammed before, you know, lawmakers have come onto our show and said that it needs to be beefed up. What does this mean in terms of the IRS's program in general? Do you think that it's gotten tougher and in terms of treating whistleblower allegations seriously, or is this just a one-off?
Well, first, the $104 million is the best advertisement that that office could do. They had been being slammed. They'd been under tremendous criticism, a lot of it rightly so because of delays. So they made a bold move here. One of their first awards, they made a bold move. They picked a case which had tremendous worldwide impact, a prosecution that I think materially harmed that office, that made people afraid to step forward, and they made a bold move. Having worked with the office now for close to 3 years on this case, we can see the development. We can see that they had to work through certain procedures and precedents, all of which are coming out good for the whistleblower. So I view this as a great sign, not just in terms of the amount, but in terms of the precedents they had to set internally to justify this award and what that means for future whistleblowers.
But does this case also sort of show that the IRS is going to run up against the Justice Department in future cases like this?
No, because as we've brought more people in, there's a mechanism for the whistleblower to get what's known as confidential informant status. And that's the key. You go to the whistleblower office, they can help negotiate getting confidential informant status. Once the whistleblower has that status, they will be protected. There will be specific rules about releasing their identity, and there'll be more of a cooperative relationship between the two agencies. Problem in Birkenfeld is he never actually physically walked into the whistleblower office until we got on the case. He walked into a prosecutor's office that told him to his face, you're not a whistleblower, and turned on him. So that should never happen.
So now that he is free, he's out of prison, and he has this $104 million, we know the first thing he's going to do is pay his full taxes on it. But after that, what do you suppose his plans will be? Will he become some kind of an advocate, perhaps, for the whistleblower program and approaching it in the right way?
He has, you know, he's just released from prison. He still has a lot of adjustment to do, but he has fully committed himself to helping others, especially in terms of international bankers who may be afraid and want to come forward. He risked everything to blow the whistle on an international banking system that, in his eyes, coddled terrorists, drug dealers, anyone who wanted to hide money, and very wealthy people who were just ripping off the system. He risked everything for that, and he's fully committed to continue on that campaign. I mean, I know I've known him now for 3 years. He is so committed to working against this international bank secrecy and these illegal accounts. It's just shocking, and he never wavered, no matter what the U.S. government did to him in terms of the Justice Department or when he was depressed because of the delays. He never wavered.
Steve Cohn is the executive director of the National Whistleblower Center. Thank you very much for joining us. Fascinating story.